Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Welcome everyone to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And today is the day that we are going to start our new podcast for 2018. So not new podcasts, like in terms of like our chat, but new for 2018. We are starting fresh. We are starting the new year right. And I'm excited because we're going to be talking about how we can make 2018 the year to play big. This is like going to be your year. And this is what we are going to talk about is how to avoid the idea of, you know, playing small and looking out at 2018 and saying, I want to live my life to its full potential.
I love it.
Of course. Now, before we get started though, with talking about how to make 2018, like how to play big, essentially, like how, you know, like some people hear that and they're like, well, what does that mean exactly? Like, what do you mean by playing big? And so I think that it's important to maybe understand the differences. So, you know, because sometimes you'll hear people say like, you're living your life small, like you're playing small, you're shrinking yourself, or like this famous quote by Nelson Mandela, there's no passion to be found by playing small and settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. And it's basically what they're saying is like the idea, the term playing small actually was popularized by spiritual philosopher Marianne Williamson. And it refers to that part in each of us that focuses on short-term temporary comfort, security, relief, and validation. So it basically means that we're usually dismissing what we truly want in our life in order to maintain a present moment illusion of security, acceptance, or control. So by contrast, playing big means that you're willing to experience short-term discomfort, take a bit of risk, and live in a bit of uncertainty in order to service what we truly want, to feel alive, to experience greater love, to connect with others, to feel a deep sense of peace, and to live with greater freedom. So that kind of like gives you an idea of the differences and gives you that definition of like when someone says, I want you to play big, what does that mean? And it means exactly that. You're willing to experience short-term discomfort, take risks, live with uncertainty in order to get what you truly want.
I also think of it though as like staying in your comfort zone. Like that is essentially like when you're not willing to get uncomfortable. And
yeah, that's definitely playing small. Playing big is when you're willing to have that short-term discomfort.
For greater
rewards.
When you're willing to get uncomfortable. Because the thing is that we all know what we want to be doing. Like it shows up in, you know, in the ways of conversation. It shows up in, you know, things that you long for or something that you want to create in your life. Like you know your calling in a sense, like it will show up in your life. But mm-hmm. a lot of times that involves getting really uncomfortable and doing things you've never done before, putting yourself out there. And a lot of people, they're too afraid. And so then that keeps you playing small and it keeps you comfortable. But most people, if you notice now, they're not happy, you know, they're not because they're not doing what they're meant to be doing.
Well, that's just it. You have to find, that's what they say, like when you're playing big, it allows you to actually find that internal peace because you, regardless of, you know, the uncomfortableness getting there, when you get there, you know that you are living your truth. And when you're living your truth and you are actually living your destiny that is meant to be, it feels so much more natural. It feels so much more, it actually feels safer, I think, because you know that, you know, you're not going to be 90 years old and being like, oh, I really wish that I would have done those things. So for me, it's safer almost to play big because to play small means that I might have regret.
Oh, completely. Like, I don't know. This is stuff that I love reading about.
That's why I'm so happy we're starting the year with this because I love it too.
Because I think it's something that, you know, we spend so much time, you know, externalizing all the work that we do. We don't take time to sit and work on ourselves and look at the areas of ourselves that where we're not necessarily living our full potential, where we want to start living our full potential. And that requires work. Like it's like anything in life. It's like getting your, you know, getting the beach body. You've got to go to the gym and eat well. You know, if you want to create an amazing business, you have to work on it. Like, it doesn't come overnight. It's the same thing with your, not mental health, but with your mindset. Like, if you're not working on your mindset and trying to make sure that you are nurturing that part of you so you do have the strength to play big, then, you know, it's, you're not going to go after it. So it's like, you do have to do that work. And one of the best things I always think is starting by reading books like Marianne Williamson's book. I talked about Jen Tinchero's book before, You Are a Badass. I'm reading one by Stephen Pressfield right now, the War of Art. The War on Art?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Hold on, it's right here. The War of Art. And it's all about breaking through your inner battles, because we all have them. Every single person has this resistance, and we have this, it's basically like, what's the word? We have to play big, but it's like we're all racked with this resistance that we end up staying small. And it's so sad. It makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. It is, because anyone listening right now, you can live your full potential. You can do exactly what your heart is telling you to do, what your gut is telling you to do. If there's a raise that you want, you need to go after it. If there's a career change, this is the year. Like, if there's a crush that you'd been admiring, now is the time. Like, why wait? Constantly waiting, constantly just staying safe and, you know, staying in the friend zone or whatever the case may be is not going to get you where you want to be. It's not going to get you to the place that you will feel that fulfillment in your life. And so you have to take the steps necessary, and you have to be willing to kind of risk it all, in a sense, like take risks and feel uncomfortable in order to get there. So
that's what I always talk to you a lot, to our students, about that, you know, in our Fit Chicks Academy, because a lot of them are becoming new fitness professionals. This is a totally unknown zone for them. They're very, you know, nervous. Oh my gosh, teaching classes or coaching clients and things like that. But it's not about getting over the fear. You know, that's one thing I think that people think, oh, but I still feel nervous, like I'm not ready. It's not about getting over the fear. I still feel nervous. I still feel fear. And I've been in this industry for, you know, 20 years. But the idea is to embrace the fear and know that comes with getting uncomfortable. It comes with growing your life, growing your business, growing anything. And you take that fear with you. You know, it's almost like bringing along as like that friend that you're like, oh, I don't necessarily really want to hang with you, but I'm going to bring you along, you know, like, and you just have to embrace it and know it's going to come. And when you shift your mindset to that way of thinking and actually know that, like, okay, I know this is going to feel really uncomfortable. I'm going to get really awkward, or I'm going to get really nervous or whatever. I know that's going to come. It takes away the, like, the pressure of it or the dauntingness of it, because it's like literally like you've taken away its power, because you're like, yeah, it's coming. Yep. I feel uncomfortable. Yep. I'm doing it anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like 100%. Totally agree with you. Okay, so what we're going to talk about then today, of course, the focus is how to play big in your life. And so we're going to give you four ways that you can actually switch your mindset today in order to begin to start playing big. So in order to begin the process of what does that even look like in order to play big? So the first thing that you need to start doing is commit to experiences. We often feel stuck because we think we need to have the perfect plan or the vision. Like, how many times have you sat back? And I know, Laura, you're very analytical. So for you, you are someone who likes to kind of like analyze everything and have everything in place before you sort of take action. I know you've shifted a lot, but I know that sometimes you have a bit of a nervous energy around that, because you want to make sure that you always have this plan in place and everything is set in stone. Now, one of the things that they say is like, if you feel stuck, the difference is, though, is that you take action. Others oftentimes get stuck so much in the details, so much in the planning process, that they never actually take action. And so you really need to commit to experiences and understand that, like, nobody can predict the future, and just go for it. Commit to it. What do you want most in your life? To feel free, to feel alive, to feel loved. Let your plan or your vision be exactly what, like, allow it to kind of transgress and transform as you go through that process. So that is the first thing to do.
Well, and I also think that is like, when we have this idea of the perfect plan and the perfect life, it really sets you up for failure. because mm-hmm. like expectation is probably one of the worst things that you can do, like give yourself. It's like almost like those girls who are like, oh my God, I know he's going to propose. I know he's going to propose. And then like they give you, the guy gives you a box and it's like a diamond bracelet instead of a diamond ring. And you're like, ah, like, yeah. I hate you. I hate this. You know what I mean? Cause in your mind, you've built up this expectation and that's what leads to frustration. It's not saying don't have boundaries, don't have goals, don't have things that you want to create, but you have to have those and then let go of the outcome. Because once you create expectations, then you're going to end up feeling like you're constantly let down.
Mm-hmm.
And then agreed. Also by staying present, that also I find really helps. Like when you're just like, if you try not to think about the future, you just try to stay present within your current moment. Or for a lot of people, I know that that's even a struggle. So I even say, especially to our students too, I was just talking about this actually yesterday in a coaching call about, you know, staying within, if you can't stay present in this moment, the longest you can kind of stretch it out to is the next 24 hours. Like, don't go over 24 hours and think about next week. Just think about what can I do in the next 24 hours to get to my goal.
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, if you, like I said, you can't predict the future. So if you're trying to plan something that's like, okay, well in a year from now, like you can have a vision of what you want, but if you're trying to plan it so that it's like every single thing has to happen, the only thing you're going to do is lead to failure. Because if you have every single box has to be checked in order to get there over the next course of the year, how many times are you going to live your life where everything is going to flow exactly as you plan? It's almost impossible. So you need to just kind of have a vision, have an end goal, but commit to the experiences, the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, and kind of allow it to flow and have that ebb and flow as you go through the process. So commit to your experiences is number one. Number two, Laura, I know this is like what you live by. Know what you want and go after it, because knowing what you don't want is not the same as knowing what you do want. So you need to stop complaining, pointing fingers. Instead, you need to turn complaints into requests, acknowledge problems, ask yourself what you want, and then take action. So you need to sit down and say, hey, this is what I really, really want.
Well, this is something I find that's so interesting is how little people actually know what they really want.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I want a boyfriend, or oh, I want to look this certain way. But like, what do you really want? Like, do you want a boyfriend who you're going to eventually marry? Do you want someone who, you know, is employed? Do you want someone who is, who wants kids? Like, you've got to get detailed with these things, because you can't get clear and attract the things into your life that you really want if you don't know what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this before where I'm like, oh, I want this. And then it's like, suddenly it's like when you really sit down, I'm like, well, I wasn't very clear on that. I'm like,
yeah. Because I mean, if you're not clear, so if you're very vague, if you're just like, I want a boyfriend, you might end up with a boyfriend because like that's, you know, you're putting energy into it, but is it going to be the right partner for you? Or is it like going to be, you know, is it going to be someone that you feel can be a life partner? Is that, if that's actually what you really wanted, but you didn't actually state that, you weren't specific about it, are you going to end up with someone who's just maybe, you know, a little like part-time partner?
Well, and this is something that, you know, especially that we're into January now, like mm-hmm. sit down, take some time by yourself, set aside, yeah. you know, an hour.
And sorry to interrupt you, but we also talked about this in our previous podcast in December.
Yeah.
So if you have, and this is how to actually like set your plan. And so if you haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast, go back and listen to that, because there's really detailed specific things, but they like, it's important to re-mention it today because it is part of this playing big process.
Completely. And that's where it's like doing the self-work, doing the intel. And I think everyone should regularly do this, not just New Year's, not just before the New Year, because like you said, we talked about in the last podcast, mm-hmm. but doing this every month, set aside even 30 minutes to an hour of me time. And everyone has that. And schedule it. So it's a non-negotiable, and sit down with yourself and go through what it is that you really want and write it out. And then just visualize on it. And it might be that, you know, you're not changing the month to month everything that you want. Maybe it is just that you are reviewing it and visualizing and checking in. Okay, wait, is that what I really want? You know, it's been a month now since I've been thinking about this. I said I wanted to like open my own business, but have I done anything on that? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
So keep that consistent monthly behavior. And one thing I think is huge too, is to do it, if you can have an accountability partner. So maybe if you're like listening to this right now, maybe get your best friend or somebody else who's into this kind of stuff. Because again, we talked about this in the last one. You don't want to be talking to people who aren't into the idea of,
oh gosh, no,
of mindset work or manifestation, because they'll just basically poo-poo all over it. And then it will just,
and they'll make you feel like you're crazy or like, yeah, like they'll put things into your mind. They'll put doubt into your mind, essentially, is what they'll end up doing, because they'll start going off. And I'm talking from my own experience here, that they'll start going off on things where it's like, oh, that's crazy, it doesn't work, and this and that. And then they, when you hear it often enough, you honestly start questioning things, and you don't want to question this. This is actually proven stuff. Like, this is, if you want to play big, if you want to live your best life, you need to be doing these things. You need to take inventory. You need to, you know, go after and take action and live in your experience every day.
Well, and that's why, so like get your best friend or a coworker or someone who also is into this kind of stuff, set an ongoing appointment with them. So maybe once a month you do a check-in with each other and you talk about, what do you want? You know, like, I have accountability partners. I have mastermind partners. I have friends who I talk to different things about. So I have a ton of different people in my life that aren't necessarily, you know, friends that I hang out with all the time, but I talk to them regularly because we connect on something that is, that we both, you know, have that familiarity or that similarity in. So I think accountability partners are amazing. It will keep you on track.
Definitely. So then the third thing that you need to do in order to play big, and I honestly feel like this should probably be number one on everyone's list, but I just have it as three just because it's one of my points. It's not necessarily in order, is that you need to learn to love yourself. Give yourself some love. And this is probably one of the hardest ones, but it is also so important.
Oh, so important and so hard.
I know. It's so weird that it's hard, don't you think? Like, it's so strange to me how difficult this process can be of learning to, like, just love yourself off. Like, be like, I am the best. And I had an amazing interview with Monica Bencomo, and her and I were chatting about this, about finding love for yourself. And, you know, one of the things she was saying is, like, you got to learn to love yourself. And she's like, by, you know, one of her techniques is to actually do mirroring, where you actually stand in front of a mirror and you, like, full on are like, I love you. And you're talking to yourself. And she's like, and it's one of those things where you feel super weird doing it at first, but eventually it becomes habit and it becomes part of, like, this is who I am. And, like, you really start believing it because you're looking at yourself. You have to look at yourself in the eye and say it and mean it and come from a place of, like, certainty. So
it's a really fun. I think for me, like, self-love has been a long journey. Mm-hmm. And I really feel, though, like, and I also think it's tied in with age and experience, because as you start to go through life's ups and downs and things happen in your life, and there's so many things that you used to care about that you don't care about anymore, or there's certain things that you realize in your life that you're like, no, I won't tolerate that. And that's part of self-love, is setting boundaries. And it's one of the hardest things for women to do. And I think as getting older, like, I find that, I don't know, it's weird. Like, I find over the last year, I just really have, like, I'm really into myself. Like, I know, but I'm like, whoa, I'm pretty cool shit. Like, and I do, you know, like, but I also, it took me a really long time to get there. And it took me a long time to get to a place of body positivity and realizing that all of those things were just me trying to distract myself from what I really should be doing. And that's the way, again, that's the way you end up keep playing small, because resistance shows up in a lot of different forms. And you always want to take the path of least resistance. But when you see these things happening, this, you know, self-loathing or negative self-talk or hanging out with negative people, you are essentially creating that for your life, because you usually are trying to avoid doing what you need to be doing because it's uncomfortable. It's good, but it's uncomfortable.
Exactly.
So, and human nature, we avoid uncomfortableness at all costs. Like,
oh yeah,
like, we'll do everything to not be uncomfortable.
I know. Well, it's one of the hardest things is to, like, jump into a situation where you know that, like, you feel like your skin, like, crawling and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable. But it's like, you have to kind of get into those places sometimes. And that's just, that's sort of the nature of the beast of learning how to play big. And so, Laura, when we talk about loving yourself though, and you say, like, this was a hard process for you, like, what are some of the things that you did in order to find, and I know you were saying like age plays a huge factor in it and kind of, you know, just really starting to kind of set the stage for yourself. But was there anything else that you did in particular? Because I know like for me, like it starts off by like just trying to nix any negative self-talk. And it happens still to this day, of course, but there, I really try to pay attention to it and be aware of it. So like when I start being like really down on myself or start being like a real negatron to myself, I'm kind of like, whoa, 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 enough with that. And I just shut it down and try to think about something different or, you know, pull myself out of that same rotating tape that's running through my brain of like this negative track that I've got going on. That's my first thing that I always do. And then my second thing is a social media detox. That's a massive thing for me. And it's, that's actually like a really hard thing for me though, because, and not because I love social media, it's actually hard for me because I know that social media plays such an important role in business and in our business side of, you know, our brand. But it's one of those things that for me, I really don't like it. I don't enjoy it. And so it's actually been like a really, it's hard to try to find that balance between sharing and also staying current with other people and what's happening and everything else while still not feeding that negatron beast that's happening. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like the best thing that I suggest, and I know you've suggested this in the past too, is like if you are on social media and you have to use social media constantly and you're a part of it and that's part of your everyday world kind of thing, and you don't necessarily want to detox it, maybe just delete anyone who is causing you to have those like negative feelings towards yourself. If it's not feeding you, if it's not serving you, then remove it from your life.
Oh, completely. Like it's so funny because I literally was just talking about this with a friend, and because obviously the different accounts have different things. So Facebook is usually more of your actual people, you know, in person,
yeah,
you know, and then on Instagram, it's like you just follow like
randos,
yeah, celebrities, whatever. So, you know, we were talking about how even like I don't have a lot of friends on my Facebook page because that's kind of my personal Facebook page. So I don't add like clients and stuff like that. It's mostly just people who I know personally. So, but even then it's like, I've had my Facebook page for so long. When I first started, I added all these people who aren't even people that I really talk to. And I was, these things are popping up in my feed, like these negative articles and, you know, negative comments. I'm like, why are these people on my Facebook? And I literally went through and I deleted like 100 people. Cause I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't want this around me. And like, these are not the people who obviously are not in my inner circle. Cause my inner circle is like 4 people. But it's like, I don't hang out with them. I don't talk to them. And also this is not making me feel good. And I did the same thing on Instagram because when I first started my Instagram, I was following a lot of people because that's when I was doing my fitness competition. So I was following a lot of fitness models and a lot of competition people. And honestly, because that's so not where I'm at now, and it's not something that, you know, again, go back and listen to the interview that I did with Jill Bunny, one of our past podcasts about fitness competitions. But it's something that for me, I think it sets up a lot of girls and it sets up a lot of bad body image and bad expectations and all of these things. So anyways, I just deleted all of them. And I added, I replaced them with like people who are rocking what I'm into right now, which is more about, you know, health, body positivity, and of course, always like the spiritual stuff too.
Yeah. No, and it's so true. And it's just like, my rule is always like, it's just, I keep it as simple as, is this serving me? You know, and I learned that from a friend of mine, Pauline, and she basically had told me, you know, like that was one of the questions she'd always ask, like, well, does this serve you? Does it serve you in, you know, in a situation like, does it make you happy? Is it serving any purpose? Sometimes it serves you in a different way. It doesn't necessarily serve you to make you happy, but it serves you to serve a lesson or whatever. But it's always asking yourself that question. So if you're in a situation where you're kind of like, I don't know, like this is making me feel pretty like bad about myself, be like, is this serving me? Like, is it teaching me anything or is it showing me anything? Because if not, if the answer is no, like it's just going to make me feel bad, get out of that situation if it's not going to be part of the bigger plan, part of the bigger process.
Well, and also to add to that, I always think it's like, even the bad feelings are serving you, right? Like you wouldn't have a reaction to something that you don't that doesn't, you don't care about or doesn't affect you. So if you have a positive reaction or a negative reaction, it is triggering something inside of you that you do need to ask yourself, why is this triggering me? Why is this image? Why is this woman making me feel this way? And again, usually if you ask yourself, like, for example, when I'm looking at those fitness models and I'm thinking, well, not anymore, but it would trigger inside of me like, oh my gosh, like I want to look like that again. Why don't I look like that? I need to get back on being strict. I need to do this. I need to do that. You know what I mean? Like, and for me, it triggers body positivity issues that I obviously don't want to have anymore. So we are what we consume. And it's the same thing with, you know, the foods we eat. You know, we're not going to eat. If you want to be healthy, you're not going to be eating McDonald's every day, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. If you want to be emotionally healthy, you want to feel good and positive, don't consume things on social media that aren't feeding that.
Exactly. And I mean, they say like negative self-image breeds neediness and toxicity and basically it will destroy everything that you care about because it'll just keep breeding itself. Like, and it spreads like wildfire. It's like crazy when you're feeling that negative self-image and like loathing. So, you know, they say like the most important relationship that you can have is with yourself.
Completely.
It's crucial for you to learn how to become your best ally. Like you need to become your bestie. Like, I know one of the things that like, I remember seeing, Christmas Abbott was doing a speaking engagement and I was there. And one of the things I loved was as she was going through her, she was talking about like feeling herself and like how she was like, you know, just transformed her life and everything. And she's like, yeah. And I just walk around and I high five myself all the time. Like she like literally is like, gives herself like high fives above her head. Like just like, yeah, I'm amazing. But that's literally where you need to be. You need to be in a place where you could be like, I'm amazing. I feel fantastic. Like, and be able to give yourself compliments and accept them and feel like you can, you know, feel worthy of like your accomplishments and everything else. Like, don't feel like you have to put it off or like put it onto someone else or like, oh, I'm only here because of this person or whatever. Like, love what it is that you do and love what it is that you represent and become your best cheerleader 100%.
Oh, completely. And it's just to me, and again, we deal mostly like obviously our market is women. We talk to women. My focus is always about helping women live their best lives. Mm-hmm. And I think as women, we feel guilty to say like, I'm number one, you know, mm-hmm. and you have to be number one. The most, like you said, the most important relationship that you will have with anyone is with yourself, not with your kids, not with your partner, not with anybody else, because they can't get the good you if you're not taking care of you. And then they're going to basically, you know, they're not going to fail. But you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to do the work that you need to do with your family, with your career, with anything, if you're not taking care of your well-being and loving yourself. Like,
yeah.
And we feel guilty saying that. And that's where it's like, we have to shift that. We have to flip that script. And I do see that change. And that's one thing I'm loving right now. And it's, sorry, this is,
oh my gosh. No, I know. I know exactly what you're going to say. And I feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Like I'm loving this change in terms of like the feminine energy and the voice that women have now in all of, you know, even with like all of the Me Too campaign and every, like having that confidence and that community to really be able to step forward and say what we feel, what we think, and not feeling ashamed of any of it. And not saying just in terms of sexual harassment, but in anything in life, you know, because we've been taught to be nice, to want to be liked, to, you know, not rock the boat. And I'm loving seeing this shift. Like it makes me so happy. And the thing that's crazy, and this is I'm rambling on, but the thing that's crazy though, is last year, in my, what was my class? Psychology of disease. So it was basically a class talking about how, you know, your mind affects your health. And my instructor, she's very spiritual, amazing energy healer too. And she was talking about the warrior and the maiden. So the feminine and the masculine energy in the world. And she was talking about how Trump had just got into office and everyone was, you know, having all their opinions on that. And she was saying, I honestly feel like this, because it's such a masculine energy, that this is going to uproot the feminine energy so much that this is what the world needs. And it was so, it's so crazy to see what happened. I have goosebumps right now over the last year.
I have goosebumps too, because my husband said something very similar, which if you know my husband, which seem very strange, but it's actually true. He said something almost identical to that statement.
And it's like, I see that, and you see it everywhere, because there's, you know, we're just seeing this voice and this call for change. And not only that, women just getting so comfortable with and loving themselves enough to say, no, this is not the way it's going to be. And this is not good enough. Where, you know, even 5 years ago, it wasn't like that. So anyways, that's my side story, and kudos, high fives to all you ladies out there.
Yeah.
Keep loving yourself.
Self high fives right now. Love yourself. So that was number three. And then number four. So our fourth statement, our fourth sort of point on how you can start to live and play big for 2018, because we're all going to do that, right, is to stop escaping. So letting go of the idea that one day you'll be able to enjoy your life, that one day you'll get there, that one day you'll have that perfect body, that one day you will live in the home that you want or be in the relationship that you want or whatever. Instead, you need to let go of that idea and fully enjoy your life. Learn how to train your brain to do it in the present moment. Make your reality part of the enjoyment. So you need to stop escaping into the future and live for today. Realize that right now is just where you need to be, and that this is how you need to learn to enjoy this moment.
Well, and that's why I always find it interesting, because the last year I've been living in a cabin. So in between, you know, downtown Toronto and this cabin in the woods. But being up there, you know, I can't walk places, and you know, I was kind of limited after dark unless I drove somewhere. So I started watching like quite a lot of Netflix and TV, and I never watch TV. Like I might watch, have some background stuff on, but I'm more like, I love working. I love learning. So for me, I'm usually reading something. And if I am watching something, it's usually, you know, something educational or completely trash reality TV, because that's my guilty pleasure. But anyways, but I was like, started watching so much TV, and I was like, oh my God, why do people watch so much TV? And it was making me crazy, because like, I'd be like, oh yeah, okay, I'll watch it because it's here. But it's like, why do you want to watch somebody else or escape in somebody else's story when you have your own story to live and create? Mm. You know what I mean? Like how many hours people spend sitting in front of the TV, you know, watching somebody else's life and watching their story, and you're not creating your own story. Like, it's weird to me. I find it strange.
I think that it has its time and place. I think that people do, sometimes you do just need that escape. Sometimes you do just like, you just need to laugh. So you just need to watch like Ellen or something. You need those moments to just kind of like decompress and take yourself out of whatever it is that you've got going on. And sometimes, and it's the same as kind of reading, right? Because if you're reading a story, not necessarily like a book on like stock markets, but if you're reading a book that's like, you know, some fantasy book or something along those lines, it's the same sort of idea. It's just a little bit different because you're reading it versus watching it, but, or even listening to podcasts, whatever the case may be, whatever sort of your thing is, I do think that escaping is okay for very short term effect. If you're doing it for like, if it's not
a night,
what I'm saying is like, I just think that it has its time and place. I don't think that if that's all you're doing, if it's literally like you're going through the motions, you're unhappy in your day to day, you're unhappy in your career, you're unhappy in your relationship, and then you come home and then that's what you're doing, is you're kind of sitting down and you're watching TV and you're just escaping, or you're sitting down and you're reading a novel to just escape, and you don't want to pay attention to anything else that's happening in your life, that's escaping to me. Versus if you're someone who's got a lot happening, you've got a lot going on, you're building your business and you have a family and you have all these things going on and everything is really like working. And then you do this cause it's kind of like, okay, I just need an hour of like, just turn off my brain time. That I think is effective. And I think it's okay. I don't think of that as the same as escaping.
No, but I think it's the whole premise of though, like, living somebody else's life, like create your own memories, create your own story, create your own life. Like I don't know. Like I find it insane how much TV, even people in my family, people in my life can watch. I'm like,
but you're also a different personality type that can't sit still. Right. Like, so you have a personality trait too of you that feels like the idea of just staying in the same place. Like if you can get outside, you want to get outside. Like you want to do those things. You want to be active. You want to be doing things constantly. There's a lot of people too that are like more homebodies and stuff like that. So it's, I guess what I'm saying is don't try to escape what's happening in your life. Not necessarily in the day to day. I mean more big picture, right? So like when you think about it from a big picture perspective, stop escaping, stop trying to say like, well, when I get here, I'll be happy. When I get the perfect body, I'll be happy. Instead, be happy with the process. Be happy with, okay, I'm here right now. I'm here today. This is what I look like today. And I'm happy with it because I know that I'm making progress. And as long as you're making progress and you're taking steps towards your vision, towards your end goal, then I think that you need to enjoy that process along the way and not escape into the idea of, I'm only going to be happy when I hit here. So until that point, I have to live an unhappy state. And I think that's more what I meant with escaping. I think it's just, I guess for me, I'm just trying to say, like, I think however someone needs to escape, as long as it's not going to put them in a place of just completely staying stagnant in their life, I think that's, I'm passing no judgment on that. I think that if
I'm not saying like people watch TV that you're lazy or whatever. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is if you're watching TV too, and you're feeling a longing for a life that is going on that TV and you're not creating it in your own life, that's what you should be creating. So I'm not saying either, like, I don't care what people do. I don't care if your choice is to escape to go hike a mountain or if it's to watch a good movie or whatever. But it's just that when you're using things as distractions and when you're using things as escape mechanisms or when you're using things to fulfill something in you that you are too afraid to fulfill yourself, that's when you have to check yourself.
Because when you feel like you have lack. Yeah.
Because again, you're avoiding your and resisting what it is that you need to be doing. Because procrastination is the biggest form of resistance. So anytime you're procrastinating on something, it's usually because you want to resist it. And that is
like my accounting.
Why do you want to resist it? You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that's like,
because it takes long. That's the only reason why. But it only takes long because I keep resisting it.
I know. It's like,
I know the path. I know my cycle. Yeah. I know my cycle. When it comes to our accounting, I know that. But yeah, so those are our four main points on how you can start playing big today and living your best life. So number one was commit to your experiences. Number two was know what you want and go after it. Do not make a list of what you don't want. Just make a list of what you do want and be specific. Number three was love yourself. Find ways, whether it's, you know, having positive affirmations, whether it's just doing mindfulness every day, whether it's social media detoxing, whatever it is that you need to do in order to learn to love yourself that much more. And then the fourth one is stop escaping and start creating. Start creating. I guess maybe that's what we should call it. Stop escaping and start creating. Start creating your life. Like, start building the exact life that you want today. And be happy in that process.
Exactly. And my final thing on that too is that if you are right now in a place in your life where you feel like, oh my gosh, like I don't even know, like this is all new to me, or I don't even know like where to start with this, or who actually, like if all your inner circle doesn't think this way or act this way, one of the best things to do is just start like Googling people who are doing what you want to do and start to kind of just read their blogs, watch what they're doing, go to the self-help section, even though it might sound cheesy, but if you go to, it's actually called the well-being section in chapters, and pick up some of the books that we've talked about and just start immersing yourself and surrounding yourself with people who think with possibility, and it will help you to start to create the things that you want in your life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And whenever you have those moments fleeting of feeling like, oh no, I need to shrink. You know, remember the quote that I started with, which is from Nelson Mandela, which is, there's no passion to be found playing small in settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. And so whenever you feel that feeling of like, I have to shrink, I have to pull myself away from this because I, you know, I might make people uncomfortable or I might get uncomfortable, I need you to step back and I need you to say, yes, I deserve this. Yes, I want this and I will have it. And be specific and just like blow 2018 out of the water and begin this process, because once you begin the process, it's impossible to go back. it's completely impossible in my mind. It's like, once you start playing big and you start seeing possibility and you start seeing all of the positive effects to actually living through your passion and living your best life, there's no way that you will ever want to take a step backwards. All right. So on that note, 2018, kick it off, play big, have fun with it, and plan what it is that you really want. And of course, please comment below, leave those comments, let us know what it is that you're going to do in order to live your best life this year. What are you going to give up, or what are you going to change in order to make that happen? If you have any questions, comments, or if you want to hear any topics, please email us info@fitchicks.ca. We'd love to hear from you. And check us out on all social at FitChicks or on at FitChicks Academy. And then, of course, if you are interested in making a shift and making a huge change in your life, if you are like, I need a career change, I need to follow my passion, if health and fitness and wellness and all of that is sort of where your passion is drawn from, and that's what you really, really want to be doing, is making an impact in this part of the world, sort of this type of impact in the world, check us out at FitChicks, www.fitchicksacademy.com. You can check out our fitness and nutrition expert certification program, as well as our holistic nutrition weight loss expert certifications. We have both of them coming up for 2018, and we'd love to have you join us. Okay. That being said, have yourself an amazing week, and we look forward to chatting again next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.